thank you. This first lecture is going to take up clearing. I'm going to give you a very rapid rundown of modern methodology, but not technology, in this particular lecture. The easiest and fastest way to clear today is HAS co-audit for anybody, particularly the public at large. Easiest, fastest way to clear is HAS co-audit. Cheapest, probably from their standpoint, the most satisfactory. Many things here militate to make it satisfactory. First is cost, second is effectiveness, third is interest, and fourth, it gives them time to look us over and find out what it's all about before they go down for the third time. Now, that's important. That's very important to us. You realize how important it is if you realize the number of people that you have approached, tried to do something for or to, who have then walked off. Now, they don't walk off with an HAS co-audit. You get them in there, get them doing as rapidly as possible, and get them on the way. And although they say they'd like to be clear, after a while they might even come to find out what it is, before they all of a sudden cool off on a project they never found out about. So here is an easy, fast, inexpensive method of clearing, where the approach comes about in a course of co-auditing, which is supervised by a professional auditor. You can see then that a professional auditor is actually clearing a great many people. This is the truth of the matter. Because you don't think for a moment that in a muzzled co-audit they would get any place if a professional wasn't standing there to first give them their assessment and second to take care of the origins and upsets and keep them on the road, number three. So what is this? What is this? You think this is new? Yes, yes, very new in its technology and startlingly new in its effectiveness. But it's not new as an idea, because this is the way I got lots of auditing hours in 1946, 7, 8, and 9. That's right. I'd get cases moved up to a point where they could go through something and then them turn them over to each other to say, go back to the beginning and go through it again. Now, that was a sort of a co-audit, don't you see? Because I was always in the next room, usually working on somebody else and getting them started, a great many co-auditing teams could develop, more co-auditing teams developed certainly than I was able to handle in two or three rooms. Now, therefore, the idea of one auditor handling a great many teams is very old. But the methodology by which it is done today is very new. Now, hardly anybody in this ACC has not started up some co-auditing someplace or another and then had people on the telephone asking, what do I do next? Now, that's a very sloppy, super generalized view of co-auditing. You got a couple of people, they read a couple of books, you give them a couple of pointers, they go off someplace and get in trouble. And then they're on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, say, I have Daisy May plastered to the upper left-hand corner of the room. She is looking down with wicked glee upon her body and says she won't come back. What do I do now? All right. When you're a long way away by telephone, you can't be very effective. So what are we actually, in the first stage of this ACC, learning what and how to do? We're learning how to audit a great many pre-clears at the same time with great effectiveness directly rooted toward clear. Now, you can think about it, and this is a good way to get groups of people together. You can think about it as, this is a fine way to keep a lot of people interested. This is a fine way, you can think about it, to get word of mouth kicking around. This is a good way to keep people that I have interested from getting into trouble. You can think about it in dozens of different ways, but the central fact is that one professional can audit a great many people. Now, do we ever really get out from underneath the professional auditor's thumb in HAS co-audit? It's the first thing you have to learn. No, never. They don't go home and run it on each other. It goes this far. In the co-audit section, when they graduate up to co-audit section, the instructor says, start, and the auditing commences. And when he thinks it's gone on long enough or the period is over, he says, regardless of where the cases are, that's it, end of session, and that's it. Now, who do you suppose really took the responsibility for all those sessions? It was the professional auditor on the floor. That's the person who took the responsibility for those sessions. Now, I'll let you in for something. The public at large does not have enough sense, training, education, responsibility to handle, usually, one session, much less several. Therefore, this is a professional job you're looking at. You're not looking at, my, isn't it wonderful that Ron has developed processes whereby anybody can sit down and just like keep his mouth shut, accept the command, give the commands to somebody, and they get clear. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I wouldn't argue with the public if they want to go on believing that. But I'd certainly think that this was a very peculiar view if somebody got out of this class believing that. Because it's just not true. No such thing has been developed any more than we have a pill. I want to tell you about a pill that was invented out in Chicago, if I may. It's completely non sequitur. I just happen to remember this pill. Auditor invented a pill out there. All you had to do was get a PC to take it, and PC got cleared. One of his friends was administering it to a PC and couldn't do it, and came back and said to the auditor, he said, but the PC won't swallow it. And so the auditor said, well, here's a long straw. What you do is put the pill in the straw and put it down the PC's throat and blow. Well, auditor's friend took the straw and went away and was very, very happy. Came back a couple of days later. He's looking terrible, very upset, terribly upset. The auditor said, what's the matter? Didn't you follow directions? He said, yes, I followed directions. Well, did you take the straw and put it in the PC's throat with a pill up the end of it and so forth and blow? Well, the auditor says impatiently, well, what happened? What happened? This is the PC blue first. Now I'm clear. Well, you see, disasters can happen among squirrels. Well, anyway, it's not true, in short, that an HAS co-audit can run in the absence of a competent professional. If that professional cannot get results on PCs individually, it is highly doubtful if he's going to get any results in a group of co-auditing people. You follow that? Because here his attention is dispersed and divided all over the group, but he is in essence running many cases, not just one. Now what he's done there, really, is employ a lot of tape recorders. Let's look at it in its cruelest version. He's employed a lot of tape recorders to sit and utter the command. Only these tape recorders are very smart tape recorders because they can tell when the thing is getting into trouble and they have enough sense to put up a little flag and call for help. You get that? That's all that's necessary. Now, we have long known that an auditing session was as good as the auditor. And we've worked here for years trying to improve various drills and so on to make better auditors. To a large degree, we've succeeded, and we have wound up with, around the world, a few thousand auditors. Unfortunately, at the same time, there are 2.5 billion human beings kicking around. And if 5 million of those human beings were eventually to accumulate into or pass through HAS co-auditing units, you haven't got enough people, not even vaguely, to handle them, unless some method of handling them is developed whereby a professional auditor can handle large numbers of co-auditing teams at the same time. All right, we have that today. That's riches. It's very valuable. It doesn't belong in the same class at all as group processing. It doesn't belong in that class. It belongs in an entirely different group of activities. Group auditing will do certain things, and it has certain definite limitations. It has certain definite adjuncts, and there are certain reasons why group auditing is. For instance, on a group of workmen in a plant or something like that, if you wanted to give them group auditing, you would find that they would snap up out of their tiredness. You would, relatively speaking, give each one an assist of some sort or another. Group auditing more or less belongs in that category than this, because group auditing, as far as I know it and have seen its results, does not directly head toward clearing. And HAS co-auditing does as a final goal. All right. First thing an HAS co-audit takes is then a professional auditor trained to do it. That's the first thing it takes. Now, it is very true that if he had 8 rooms and he had 8 people under his supervision and each one of those people was handling 20 people in a co-auditing team, he could probably make it. That's perfectly true. You see, he could probably make it. These floor supervisors, in other words, could probably come back to him and get the quick gen. He probably could have enough time to sort out those cases which exceeded the assessment ability of the floor supervisors. Don't call them auditors, you see. He personally could sort out the ones that were throwing a curve after the first night or the second night. He'd gradually catch up with these cases that weren't going anyplace. He could do a lot of things this way. In other words, then, we're not just talking about one professional auditor versus maybe 20 or 26 people formed up in the co-auditing teams. You see, we may be talking about a much larger number. But it certainly requires, first, one professional auditor who knows what he's doing. Now, the results in that particular group are going to be no better, really, than the results of the professional auditor who is running that HAS co-audit group. They're not going to be any better than that. Why? Well, if he ARC breaks PCs, he's certainly going to ARC break every PC there that he has to take up suddenly. You see? Here he has much less time and much greater anxiety to do his job. As a result, what's he going to have? Well, let's say there are 13 PCs and 13 auditors, and each one of these PCs has had an upset or a question, and the fellow in charge has been called upon to settle 13 difficulties during the first hour, and he has settled them all in an abrupt brush-off, not his fashion. Well, now he's got 13 ARC breaks. By the end of the second hour, he's got 13 more. That's 26. That's his total unit, and bats it out. Nobody turns up anymore. Fortunately, such things are self-eliminating. But we don't want them happening at all. In other words, if you can handle an ARC break on the part of an individual preclear, and you do that fairly well, then you will be able to handle an HAS co-audit ARC break fairly well, you see. And if you're very clever and you handle an ARC break with an individual pre-C, just bang, you know, straighten it all out, zip-zip. Why, certainly, the ARC breaks which accumulate in the unit are going to be handled similarly. Because it's the professional auditor in charge who handles those ARC breaks. So, once more, it depends upon the individual auditor. So we have to go on making good auditors. And don't get the idea that the responsibility goes over to the PC. The easiest thing in the world is to look at somebody sitting there at the end of the row and say he's responsible for the fact that that PC there is blowing. That's so easy. Unless you, as the professional auditor in charge of the group, take responsibility for the PC blowing too, then the PCs will blow all over the place. Because the fellow sitting there doing the muzzle co-audit, just off the street, unschooled, won't even know what's happening. So you have to take responsibility for what happens in the unit. Now, this is an awful lot of responsibility, and here's an awful lot of minds to be tampering with. This is a tremendous number of minds, isn't it? What a tremendous effect we've got rigged up here. Well, you see, here's the way it works. You know that if you save 2 cents a day, the first day, and double that the second day, and double that the third day, and double that the fourth day, you know what happens at the end of 30 days? Well, anytime you want to write a note to somebody saying he's going to pay you this much money, go right ahead. But anytime anybody wants you to sign one, don't. Because very rapidly it adds up to, well, if you just carry on even beyond 30 days, it just adds up to millions of pounds. It's the most soaring total you ever saw. Now, if you started in and audited 20 people in this wise, and then they got other people interested, and you got some of them trained, or let's say half of them eventually wound up auditing 20 people, even at this very limited view, you'd see that we're out on a very nice arithmetical progression. And that is what we are striking for in HAS co-audit. We are looking here at some rather staggering goals. So we start with an individual professional who knows his business, you see, going out that way, and we wind up with, over here, and this first one is not an ultimate, but it's absolute necessity, we wind up with, and we can't have an ultimate, but we'll approach it, a cleared earth. I mean, it's as simple as this. This is not something we're going to forget about for a while. So it's a very good thing that you're here listening to this one, and if you're present here, because this is the kickoff point. Now, how far can this go? How fast can it go? Well, we don't much care as long as it doesn't go totally out of control. So what exists between this one trained professional auditor and this ultimate of a cleared earth? What hurdles are we going to run into? Well, for sure, we're going to run into incompetence. That's for sure. Because, listen, you start blowing that much disorder off a planet, and there's commotion. Now, any of you that don't mind commotion, there are some people that like it. Fine. I'm always happy to see a good confusion going, particularly amongst the enemy. It's all right. There's going to be a confusion, but let's predict the confusions, and let's get the stable data in that will minimize the confusion. Now, the difficulty is that every time you put more stable data and more order into anything, you get more confusion blowing off of it. And the happy fact is the confusion eventually disappears and the order remains. Now, there's the law. That's a natural law. To make that law work to our benefit in HAS co-audit is one of the easiest things we ever did. All we have to do is make sure that at each point of progress on this arithmetical progression, there exists a well-trained professional auditor. That's the stable datum. All right. Let's also make sure that he doesn't go into apathy just because he feels guilty at blowing off a little confusion. Confusion's going to blow off one way or the other. And confusion isn't going to blow off Earth under atom bombs and H-bombs and things. That's just going to add more confusion. So we evidently are the only people present that are going to blow off any of the confusion. So this one professional on which we anchor this arithmetical progression has got to be able to withstand, recognize, and bring order to a rather tremendous amount of confusion. And he mustn't at any time go into total apathy and say, well, it's just natural and that's the way it is. In other words, relapse and get human. He mustn't relapse and get human. People start calling up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning They've got this, they've got that, and the papers are on his back. And some great medical authority has just arisen in Glasgow or the Canary Islands or some such other unlikely place. And what do you think's going to happen? They're going to say everything he's doing is bad, and you're that much cause, therefore you must be bad, and that this thing shouldn't occur. And actually there's a law written into the Code of Hammurabi that an eye for an audit is the thing. And you're going to hear people say, well, he actually is a spaceman. He landed the other day from Mars and so forth. This is just all symptomatic of confusion, you see. You start bringing up this much order, you're going to get confusion. So right at the outset, let's look at it as one of the primary things that would block any forward progress. It's the fact that we add the order, we're going to blow off the confusion. So let's have a motto, to hell with the confusion, bring more order. That's the only answer to it. Colloquially and factually, to hell with the confusion, bring more order. Now, you in instructing things, if your ACC instructors ever minded confusion, they wouldn't be here. Because it does come off in an ACC. The symptom of confusion is that you are bringing order. And every once in a while, a PC goes, wag. And he goes, deh. What do you think he's doing? He's blowing off some confusion. Well, you must be getting some order in, or the confusion wouldn't come off. Well, why quit? See? Why say this fellow can't be audited because every time we audit him, he dopes off? That's silly. We haven't any idea how many universes full of confusion this fellow has in his skull or wherever he stuffed it away to blow off. But when we enter some order, some confusion blows off. Now, when you enter order too rapidly, the PC blows off. And if you feel very unhappy sometime because a PC leaves, don't always add it up, as your instructors always tell you is true, that it's because you made a bunch of goofs with ARC breaks and did everything wrong. No, you might have done everything right and entered so doggone much order into this PC so quick that the confusion started off and he resembles a small bomb. He can't contain it in any way and he starts blowing. He leaves. Got the idea? Now, the only goof it is to enter that much order that fast. That's the only mistake that's made. For instance, I know some processes which, if addressed immediately to a PC in exactly the right tone of voice measured up against his point on the effect scale, would cause him to blow every time. You know of some, too. To as is anybody's condition, one would have to state the truth of the condition. And if you went around and looked at everybody you met and you knew exactly what was wrong with them and you told them so, I think you'd see a lot of blows. Wouldn't you? Well, you get the analogy here. You have to sneak up on them. As you say in the Boy Scout manual, you have to debouch carefully upon the enemy. It's the gradient scale. And being willing to put up more stable data and bring more order where the confusions tend to swamp things. So people start calling up this professional auditor at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. He gets very tired of this. Well, I don't know what's wrong with him, that he didn't make enough money and charge enough that he couldn't hire a telephone answering service. Anybody rings his phone after 10 p.m., why, they get a telephone answering service. Let's let the all-night operator at the telephone answering service argue with the PC. You'll bring order. After a while, they find out you're available amongst certain hours. That's when they'll call you up, too. All right. Many other minor confusions could enter into this pattern. But no confusion would be second to having it done badly, poorly, watered down, done in a disorderly fashion, done by unqualified people. Now, that, I assure you, can water down any forward push, the like of which you never heard of. Because here the confusion is apparently being entered in on the side of the push. You see, you're making a push against insanity, confusion, upset, criminality, war. You're making a push against all these things. And here's some Joe Blow, some weak Pete, gets himself set up in Boston or Birmingham or someplace, and he's a squirrel of the first water. He was a hypnotist, but he couldn't hypnotize anybody, so after a while he took up swimming theraculture and examined water cures down in the spas and found out he couldn't do anything about that, and one day was told by somebody briefly that there was such a thing as Scientology and that there was an HAS co-audit, so he says, good, I will do it. Now, he's apparently on your side. Now, California auditors are notorious for being reasonable. They probably don't know this. The only thing I find, I love many of them dearly, but I find they most of them have this in common. They are so reasonable and so forgiving. And they can always find a reason why some squirrel is wrecking the works. They can always find a reason to never to interfere with Mr. Weak Pete, who is busy running some kind of a squirrel course that stands everybody on his heads while their Throgmagog runs the bank, you know. They all say, well, he has perfect reason to do this, and it's all very reasonable and so forth. Well, all right, because we're in apathy about California, let's let them go ahead and do that about California. But there's another 48 states and four more continents and a great many islands where I assure you it better not go. You find somebody unqualified who doesn't know what he's doing, trying to muddy up the straightforward push of HAS co-audit, why, set him right, and set him right in a hurry, because he's apparently going the same direction you're going, but actually is walking right straight back against you. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. He could do a great deal. All he's got to do is join forces with you and help you. Until he finds out how to do it. You see? Now, that's one of the big hurdles that we face. Anything good gets a lot of parasitic writers. Anything good. People who don't know, and so forth. My God, I wouldn't be a bit surprised what a psychiatrist would start doing it. You know? Subhuman species might even get in on this. I had a psychiatrist tell me one time, he'd heard about group processing, give you a typical example. He'd heard about group processing, and he said, we do group processing all the time. We've done it for years. I've heard this so many times from psychiatrists, you know. I've learned to do this, though. Something you should learn, too, if you haven't already. When they say something like that, you say, what have you done for years? They can't tell you. This fellow, however, had an answer. We take a bunch of crazy people, we set them around the table, and we let them talk about books. I said, you've done group processing for years. Yes, yes. We get a bunch of crazy people, we set them around the table, let them talk about books. I said, what's this got to do with group processing? And he says, well, he says, it's obvious, they're a group. Whole thing was self-explanatory as far as he was concerned. He went away totally self-satisfied about the whole deal. He figured he'd won the argument. I guess he had, because he never had any backlash. I didn't want to laugh on a higher wavelength because it would have electric shocked him. Now, we have a win here. This is the next group, besides the people that will muddy it up when they don't know what they're doing and so forth. This is the next hurdle. We have a win. Now, remember, we've got a win. We have one. It exists. There isn't the faintest, tiniest, smallest, microscopic chance that we're going to change around the processes audited in the first phases of a co-audit. From here, as it says in the mortgage contracts, till the end of time. Why? Why is there no chance of this? because we've got to win. Well, let's preserve the win. Now, somebody's going to come along someday who can't win, and he's going to say, we have so much better processes. After all, in 1961, Ron did develop this process, and it's so-and-so, and a perfectly valid process, and it's used in HGCs and so forth, and it's adaptable to muzzle co-auditing. So why aren't we using this much hotter process in muzzle co-auditing? I'll tell you the exact answer to it, because we aren't. You have any idea at all how much work it is to actually broadly test and get in the results on and stabilize and take care of one set of processes? If you have any idea of that at all, you will see why a win should be preserved. It doesn't mean that it can't be done again, but it means that the second you start shifting off of it, you run the grave risk of losing the win. You develop side effects. You develop excessive gains that you didn't want. You get a guy all cleared, and a cleared cannibal remembers a cleared cannibal. He eats better. Cleared car salesman's a clear car salesman. That's it. They tell a story about a great empire and went charging out across the world, and it kept putting guns in the hands of people and telling them they should use democratic principles. And they showed them how to fire the guns and the machine guns and the howitzers and organize their troops and have bodyguards and run machinery and shoot each other, and everything was fine. And when they got all through, they found they hadn't learned anything about a democracy. So it had to put on the brakes. And it had to say, well, after this, we're going to be more careful of handing out the machine guns before we teach the people how to be civilized. That's a lesson we've got to learn. There's no sense in going out in broad clearing projects with the end goal of just clearing somebody. If he doesn't learn himself what life, you say, well, a cleared person would know what life is all about. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. He was cleared at the beginning of track, and he didn't know enough to get himself out of trouble, did he? He fell for every sucker game that came along. Somebody says, here's a chute, jump at the end of it and come out the other end, and you'll be feeling great. He feels great, all right, and the emotional tone scale gets installed as he goes down. Now, remember, he was cleared at the beginning of track, and he's not clear now. That's because his education along the line was sadly neglected. All right, so you could set this whole project up. You could clear everybody and not teach them anything about the usages of existence or getting along with their fellow Thetans. And what would you wind up with? You'd wind up with the beginning of track and a nice dwindling spiral. And you'd wonder why, even a month after you'd attained the goal, it had dropped in tone. See, it'd be that noticeable. I saw the wildest thing, you know. I've been over the jumps on some of these things. You'd be amazed. I saw a couple of auditors one time get the idea that if they were really self-determined, that anybody else who used any determinism would have to be killed. Now, you add that up. Can you figure that out? I've never been able to figure it out this day. That if they really became self-determined, then anybody who used any other determinism would have to be killed. Now, you figure that out. Well, they were able to figure it out. They weren't necessarily in bad shape. They were merely spun in. But that's an interesting set of new postulates set up, isn't it? Because what in essence is life except a pattern of postulates that have been put together? So what are you going to do? You're going to take all the postulates apart that people have and put them at cause over postulates and then leave them at liberty without any information about what postulates went where. Now, that would be chaos. Makes the job not worth doing, to tell you the truth. If people attain a great freedom with no way to know how to use it, or with no willingness to learn how to use any freedom at all, why, you've just created a brand new chaos. Right? It's not for nothing that every great revolution or evolution, it's not for nothing that it almost immediately, these evolutions are revolutions for freedom, equality, eternity, all wind up in a police state. All wind up with everybody so super controlled, with everybody so much in a vice and in a clamp that they have to have a license to breathe, and they get shot anyhow, if they do. This is true, you know. I mean, these great strikes for freedom always wind up in a super control, and nobody's ever been educated during these revolutionary things on how to handle the course and direction of this great monster that's been let loose. It's rather pathetic. Man going out and bleeding and dying and going through heroics and getting bullets in the brain and other diseases. Also, man can be free and then all of a sudden wind up and find a bigger police state on his hands than he ever had before. And that's the cycle. Well, let's not roll the same cycle. Why not at least change the cycle? Therefore, you don't want faster methods of clearing for HAS co-audit. What you've got already is almost too good. Now, that's one to be interested in, isn't it? That seems like we're putting limiters on things even before we begin. No, we're not putting any limiters on anything. We're just giving this fellow a chance to find out something as he progresses forward case-wise. We're giving him an opportunity to take a look at what he's doing. And it's almost happening too fast to give him a look. Saw a fellow one day, he'd been run on over with whole straight wire. A very good job had been done on it. In fact, too good a job had been done on it. The individual was all of a sudden over his lumbosis and he was feeling great. And I asked him how he was doing. He said he was doing all right, but he was a little bit puzzled. What was he puzzled about? Well, he was a little bit puzzled why they had kept asking him this question all the time when he was feeling better and better. And I says, what? He says, yes. He says, I was just sitting there, and the atmosphere and the environment was wonderful, and I was feeling better and better with all these cheerful, happy people around, and I was getting attention from the fellow and so forth, and he kept asking this question. I kept answering it, and I don't know why he kept asking it and requiring me to answer the thing, because you know, I was getting along all right. And to prove it, he says, look how well I'm doing now. Well, the conversation actually took place. Left me a bit baffled. But there we have a problem in somebody becoming the effect of something more rapidly than he could assimilate, and he didn't have a clue. He just didn't have a clue what it was all about. Now, this is the next point. This point of shifting processes on it. Don't. Why? The processes are good enough. In fact, almost too good. Now, you're not trying to do a finished job of professional assessment or professional auditing on HAS co-audit. I think every case they had difficulty with, in Hazy London HAS co-audit, every case they had difficulty with, eventually succumbed to the button yourself. I think this is true. Isn't that fascinating? Required no smarter assessment than that for the thing to work out. And yet, obviously, in individual processing, if you stopped with assessment at yourself, you feel that you would miss somewhere along the line. And the funny part of it is that you wouldn't, but you would put in an awful lot more time than you should. So, why do you want a better process? You want better processes for theta clearing and making operating thetans. Perfectly prepared to hand them out by the ton, back up trucks, and have them dump HCO bulletins on your doorstep like mad on newer processes to make mess clears, theta clears, and operating thetans. Better ways to move mess, how to disintegrate plutonium without explosion, and so forth. This educational bulletins. perfectly willing to, but you're looking at a set package that has been broadly successful wherever it was used well. Now, you're going to start teaching an awful lot of people to be an HAS co-audit supervisor. These people do not have available to them, or probably the bulk of them will never have available to them, any more information than just that, you see. Now, let's keep them in agreement. Just for that purpose alone, let's learn how to run this drill. Let's narrow it right down to there and learn how to run that drill. Now, as far as individual processing is concerned, picking up a case after this, we've got it made. And we'll undoubtedly have faster processes. Undoubtedly. We'll have to have faster processes. But those processes which start the individual in, we have now corralled. And they're as good as they can be within the limit of use. Now, it isn't saying that somebody can't improve them. I'm just saying it would probably be unwise to. Many looks in this direction. Just like it would be unwise not to continue to work for faster theta clearing after HAS co-audit takes place, you see. It would be unwise to abandon research in that direction. Similarly, it would also be unwise to smarten up an HAS co-audit to a point where, well, just all the cases get all cracked up and everybody's clear and sailing around the room and scientologically and livingly, why they're just, duh, what law, you know, what law. Give them a chance to take a look. At least that's my view of it. Now, the next thing up has to do with barriers and interferences along this particular line is the spatial limits of operation. You can only run as many people as you have room for, and here on Earth they charge quite a bit of rent. Have you ever noticed?
Yeah.
You ever noticed? People charge you rent. Well, running an HAS co-audit is almost impossible in the absence of some kind of quarters. And a fellow's liable to break down and say, well, we can't possibly do this unless... Well, requires some figuring. And unless you figure your way through the materiel part of this HAS co-audit, unless this is figured out and you have answers to it, you can come a cropper because space available puts a limit on the expansion and can stop it cold in its tracks. I'll give you an idea of a sample solution to this sort of thing. Interesting solution. The motion picture that they used to have back there in the 20th century before Thurdovision came out. You know, Thurdovision took the place of Color Tri, which is what took the place of deep vision, which is what took the place of multicolor, two-dimensional color television, which is what took the place of TV. They ran out of theaters. Nobody had much use for theaters because nobody could get anybody out of the home. They had everybody glued to the little boxes, you know. Everybody sit around with his face pressed against the box all the time. And nobody ever got out to a theater. And more theaters got into disuse. And they sat around empty. And their owners were going frantic trying to find some way to make a couple of quid, bob, bucks out of a theater. Okay. Now, just earlier than that, there'd been a big push on, and so forth, 19th century. I think it hit its final death throes. And they had a gag going where they used to get everybody in to a big place and blow incense on them and swing things to hypnotize them. And they had a low chant going. Low chant with an organ going up in one corner of the room. And everybody used to go wag and get an eyelid flutter. And there was some fellow in a dress that would stand up at the front of the room and he'd say, at the crucial moment, he would say, put the proper number of pounds, shilling, pence, bucks into the small envelope you will find to the right on your pew and hand it to the sexton, layman, deacon, or whatever on your way out. And then they'd give a bunch of Ave Mithras or whatever it was. And But when it died out, whatever made it die out, I've never looked into the real basic reason why of any of these things, because mostly it's just basically untruth. They left an awful lot of buildings lying around. A lot of buildings that nothing was happening in for a long time. Well, such phases as this does leave available space, but you have to dig for it. Now, you are inheriting space. And if you look on yourself as the inheritor of space, well, you're all set. You see, you're inheriting space. And you can get space on part-time, short-time rentals and so on. And you can make space in various ways, and there are various halls and things that you can utilize. But that problem, all by itself, could knock the whole project in the head unless a fellow is very clever and solves it along the way. All right, the next big jump along the line is failing to handle the people after they've gotten out of an HAS co-audit. HAS co-audit is going to take them awfully far, but it's not going to take them to clear. Now, how do you route them through so they get further processing, which is fast and accurate and exact enough to get them somewhere? How do you get them further training so they're more educated? How do you get them further processing so they come out to the theta clear level? How do you accomplish this? Now, an HAS co-audit is then not the end goal in itself, and it isn't going to do the whole job. And it has various things that could impede its various enthusiastic beginnings. The public at large has accepted it wherever auditors have let them in on it. In some parts of the world, they have held it quite private and secret, because they saw no reason to take the whole western half of the continent and turn it loose and give PCs to all the field auditors when the central organization needed them so badly. A short view, in other words, has taken place a few times. But these various things all are based on this. You've got to have somebody that can bring order to the confusion, a professional auditor, and then have him continue to bring order to the confusion. And that's about all it takes. Now, let's look this thing over again from the beginning. We're actually looking at a very interestingly diverse administrative picture. You see it as a technical picture. As you process people and so forth, you look on this more and more as a technical thing. Your interest is in the technical field. Well, I'll tell you how to get your interest knocked off of the technical field 100% is pay no attention to administration and just let it happen. Now, that's a wonderful way to get your brains blown out. It's just like walking into a den of snakes, never taking a stick along with you, you know. Next thing you know, you say, where did I get all these two-prong marks all over me? Nothing can knock you out faster than contempt for or refusal to handle administration. Because all administration does is maintain the order that has been brought. And if you have no administration to maintain the order which has been brought, why, then what happens to you? It means that you are the only one bringing order. And you're going to have to bring it all the time, 24 hours a day, and your sphere of influence is limited to the degree that it would be otherwise. In other words, administration is what keeps the order there. So you have to set up an administrative pattern that is real. There has to be some way to reach the public, get people to walk in the front door, get them to contribute, get them to take a place, get them to hold the place, and go through the actions necessary to a completion of the first phase of the course, which is PE Foundation. Then you have to have some sort of an orderly action to keep count of this person, keep knowing his name, and so forth. It isn't enough that you know it, because it's got to be on record someplace. And that has to appear so that when you move him over into the next unit, you just suddenly don't turn up with a bunch of missings all over the place, or you have everything all swelled up and no place to put them, and you didn't realize that there'd be that many people. And although the fellow did call up on the telephone and say that he and eight of his friends would be in and take the HAS course next week, well, it just never got put down any place. You never told the HAS instructor, you see. That got neglected because, actually, there was no comm baskets, and here we went. You get the idea? In other words, you haven't a prayer in maintaining the order brought unless you pay attention to the orderly progress and recording of the communication particles, whether they're bodies, orders, letters, phone calls, or whatever else, communication particles, which come into the place. Then you can get into the situation where the communication particles are nicely rigged up to inflow, but not rigged up at all to outflow. You could have a totally overbalanced situation whereby you'd say, that's fine. Every particle which came your way stuck. Very interesting. If you look this over, you say, well, that's good. We'd make all the money. We wouldn't lose any people out of course. I'm not talking to that degree. What would you do with this money? You couldn't take it out of the room. It's stuck. You couldn't go to a bank. You couldn't buy any groceries with it because it's stuck. You get the idea? It's got to be some way for particles to get out of the organization if they get in. And this is true of people, too. They get up to a point where they should have individual attention and so on, to be kicked on up the line and so on. Well, how do they get rooted to it? Who takes care of it? How do you get rid of that body? You don't want to just go on collecting bodies forever. Well, the orderly progress of communication particles is getting them into the organization, start changing and stopping them inside the organization on various schedules and records, and then getting them out of the organization. That's got to go all the way. Now, you've undoubtedly seen somebody have trouble with this. Have you ever seen a desk that was totally piled with paper in some administrative office? Well, a desk totally piled with paper says one thing. The fellow lets paper come in, but he never lets the paper out. And after a while, why, he's just a small mountain of paper. That's all you see there. Actually, you have files. And the way to let pieces of paper out of the organization is to put them in a file drawer, and then they're out. They're out, that's right. And they don't come back into the organization until you open up the drawer again and enter them back in on the communication lines of the organization. Precise scheduling, good records, a precise and orderly handling of the mess involved. All of these things contribute to the success of the course as much as the technology once the course is running. These things you have to pay attention to. Now, you're going to bring order to a great many people. You'll pay attention to these various things and bringing order to the various problems I have discussed in this particular lecture. If we do that sort of thing, we will win broadly. We will win a long distance. And we will undoubtedly accomplish our goals before we're through. The difficulties that we face are so slight at this stage of the game when you compare what we have lived through. Our difficulties are so slight as to be negligible. In other words, if we kept going into the future with the same enthusiasm or half of it that we kept going in the past against great difficulties and so on, we would make this one easily. I have no slightest qualms about this particular push. I've already seen it head off in various directions and headed it back. Sometimes if you're in my office and I bark, I've just gone into the valence of a shepherd dog that has just seen everything jump off the lines. But it's all right. Why not be a shepherd dog sometime? The main thing about an HAS co-audit, the main thing to know about it, is that it is it. It is a thing. It has been developed over a great many years. First we had PE Foundation and its administration, and that was refined considerably. And then we've done a great deal of work on drills. Then these training drills have been modified. We eventually have our comm course. And the HAS comm course is not the same, you know, as an HPA comm course. It's a limited idea. Now we've got this muzzled co-auditing, and that's very successful. It's been well tried out. And I doubt there are very many problems in this that there aren't some fairly pat answers for. the things that you run into are fairly routine. It has to be done well. The one thing that you could overlook entirely is that any push forward in society, any progress, must be, has to be, live. There is no substitute in livingness for livingness. No known substitute. If the push is to continue, why, it'll be because we make it so. If we go on and take our objectives, it's because we were alive enough and alert enough to go on and take our objectives. If we win, it's because we kept on working at winning, and nothing short of that would permit us to win. An HAS co-audit is what it is, and the only thing that you'd have to add to it is a considerable amount of life, ability to withstand the tremendous confusions that are going to blow up, and carry on with it and bring it through to its end. And for that reason, we've gone into this as the first thing in this particular ACC. And the last part of the course is going to be devoted to theta clearing. Right now, we're hot and heavy in learning about all there is to know about this. You've gone quite a ways in this direction. You've made a great deal of progress. I'm glad of that, because this is nothing compared to the progress you're going to make in the next few days. Thank you.